Welcome to the BBB National Programs Podcast, The Bistro, where we will discuss today's hottest consumer trends, predict the future with consumer experts, and learn how elite businesses and entrepreneurs continue to push the envelope to meet and shape your needs as a consumer in the marketplace.
Welcome to the Bistro Podcast. I'm your host, Elena Spinola. Have you ever searched for a product online and then later noticed ads for that exact product or other similar products starting to show up as you scroll through Facebook or check your emails? Chances are you have noticed this, and the technology around interest-based advertising is getting smarter and more advanced every day. On our last episode, we talked about IBA, those types of ads that follow you across websites and mobile apps, and the technology that drives it. Well, we're back with part two of this series, and today we're exploring the options that consumers have when it comes to this type of advertising, and we'll discuss the self-regulatory enforcement work associated with us. Back with us are John Brescia, Director of Adjudications and Technology, and Ayaz Minhas, Data Privacy Specialist at BBB National Programs with the Online Interest-Based Advertising Accountability Program. Welcome back to the Bistro. Thank you for being here.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So, John, can you give us a little bit of your background in your program and what it does?
Sure. So if you heard last time, this will basically be a repeat, but you know, I work with my colleague here, Ayaz Minhas, and we do the self-regulatory enforcement for an industry code of conduct that governs online interest-based ads and the intersection of that and consumer data privacy concerns, so providing transparency and consumer control to folks about this kind of advertising. We're the cop, if for lack of a better term.
Okay. And Ayaz, you said that there's an industry code on our last episode. Can you talk more about that?
So about 10 years ago, industry in the space came together and developed online principles for self-regulation based on best practices for privacy. These principles were known as the Digital Advertising Alliance's self-regulatory principles. Now, as technology has evolved, these self-regulatory standards have also evolved to establish privacy best practices for the web to expand to covering mobile devices and data collected across devices. Now, the goal of self-regulation is to set meaningful standards that also have the flexibility to grow with evolving technologies.
Sure. I would imagine that's very important, the flexibility to grow, because technology, of course, continues to evolve day after day. It must be a difficult job for you to continue to monitor with all this sort of evolvement within technology space. And John, how does your team exactly enforce this code of conduct?
Right. So there's two primary ways that we go about doing this, and they both lead to the same sort of result. So one, we do independent in-house monitoring of websites and mobile apps. We've got a variety of automated solutions that we've picked up over the years, vendor support, and also just hands-on network forensic testing that we do in our office. And so we'll go through 100 websites or 50 mobile apps, pull them apart, see how they work, and see if what we're looking at on those sites or apps matches up with what we should be seeing under the Digital Advertising Alliance's principles. The other thing we do is we take complaints from the general public. So we've got a form online. Anybody can go there and fill out a complaint and say, I see this company is doing something that doesn't fit the rules. Take a look. And they can provide a variety of information, what ads they saw, what URL they were at when they saw it, which app they were using at the time. And that information can allow us to then go and try to replicate what they said that they saw. And if we can do that, and it looks like it doesn't fit the code, then we reach step two, right? Both of these processes lead to us potentially opening cases, right? These formal inquiries into the practices of companies around interest-based advertising. When we do that, we work with the companies to try to get them to compliance. It's a very collaborative process, working with them to try and get them to the right place. And then when we're done, we publish a decision that explains what we did, what the company changed, and how all of it got to a good place under the principles.
Sure. So speaking of these sort of public inquiries, let's say a consumer writes you and they want to avoid targeted ads. Ayaz, what do you tell them? Basically, what options do consumers have?
So consumers have the ability to opt out of interest-based advertising. And under our principles, individual ad tech companies are supposed to provide mechanisms to prevent the collection and use of data for IBA. Now, industry coalitions have put together central opt-out pages that aggregate all of the opt-out tools. You can locate them at the Digital Advertising Alliance's aboutads.info/choices page, and the Network Advertising Initiative, they also have their own opt-out page. Other companies like Evidon or TrustArc also provide privacy management tools which allow consumers to opt out. Now, those tools that I just described, those are web browser-based tools, but there are other tools to opt out of that type of advertising on your mobile device as well.
Okay, well, we will get to that in a minute, talking about the mobile device. And, you know, just one thing I want to bring up is, as a consumer, it's important to know that you have the option to opt out. Sometimes we're so busy scrolling, the ads pop up, you don't think too hard about it. Maybe you ignore it, maybe you click on it for a second, but there probably are some people who just don't like it. And maybe they didn't know that they could opt out. So this is really great to share that information. Let's talk a little bit about cookies. We talked about that on our last episode. Tell us how cookies work with opting out. John, help us out with this.
Sure. So opting out in the desktop environment through your web browser, that uses typically cookies. And so just like we talked about with cookies saving state in the prior episode, they allow websites to remember your trail of navigation, whether you've put something in a shopping cart, etc. That same memory can be applied to your opt-out choice. So you can use the tools that Ayaz just mentioned and click the opt-out button, and that sets a cookie generally on your computer that says this ID number has opted out. Now, it's important to remember, we talked also about refreshing, flushing, getting rid of the cookies, or you can even use browser settings to block cookies from being set altogether. That is not really the best way to opt out if that's what you're trying to do, because if you clear an opt-out cookie, you're opted back in, most cases.
I see.
And if you block cookies, you can't set the opt-out cookie to begin with. And so in both of those cases, you're sort of frustrating your own aims if that's what you're attempting to do.
I see.
And then I should make a side note that, you know, when you talk about getting all of this information up front for people, there's an icon that's generally in all of the interest-based ads, and that's called the ad choices icon. It's a little white square with a blue triangle in it. And that was developed by the Digital Advertising Alliance as a way to give consumers upfront, direct, real-time access to the knowledge that interest-based advertising is happening and a portal through which they can click to reach more information about the company that served this, what interest-based advertising is and what their choices are, including how to opt out. And these tools, just like I has mentioned, for example, the DAA's opt-out portal on aboutads.info, that is going to be generally a cookie-based solution. So you got to have cookies enabled to take advantage of that choice.
I see. Makes sense. And I feel like, am I the only one who didn't know about this little triangle? So I really appreciate you sharing that, because there could be a lot of people who really will find that very helpful. In fact, I mean, I'm thinking back to, have I seen the little triangle? I'm sure I have, but I had no clue what it was or what it did. And now we know. So that's awesome. Now, you mentioned that was mainly for sort of web-based. Ayaz, how do consumers opt out of advertising on mobile apps?
Sure. So as we discussed in the last episode of this podcast, ads show up in apps on your mobile phone. That's how a lot of free and low-cost apps are monetized. Now, many of these ads are interest-based advertising as well. Now, to opt out in this environment, a consumer can download the Digital Advertising Alliance's App Choices app. That's one way to opt out of the various advertising companies that are in this space. Alternatively, they can use their system settings to disable IBA. There's a limit ad tracking option and an opt-out of interest-based advertising option depending on your mobile device's operating system. One thing that's remember is those options are distinct from rotating your ad ID. Some people think that you can opt out of interest-based advertising by rotating your mobile device's ad ID, but what that will do is that'll create a new advertising ID that is still subject to retargeting for that device. It won't send a signal for you to be opted out. It'll just sort of reset that advertising, that presence for purposes of being retargeted.
Got it. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and the digital advertising, the network advertising, the Digital Advertising Alliance, the Network Advertising Initiative, Google and Apple, they all have guides on how to accomplish all of this.
Okay, excellent. So on our last episode, you shared some resources. Can you share those resources again for anyone who is interested in kind of reading more or hearing more about how to opt out, how to protect their privacy when it comes to these online ads?
Sure. So there are a million different online resources for data privacy. The stuff that is pertinent to what we've talked about today, bbbprograms.org, you can find the online interest-based advertising accountabilities work there, as well as the Advertising Self-Regulatory Council's website, asrcreviews.org, where you can find our extremely voluminous case decisions. These are sort of judicial-style releases that we put out. The press release will distill everything if you prefer that format. And if you don't like legal writing at all, then you can go visit the Digital Advertising Alliance's aboutads.info or youradchoices.com. Those sites have a lot of consumer-facing information that's more readily digestible by non-lawyers. We're very sorry for being lawyers.
Don't apologize. It helps us in ways that we don't even know, the typical consumer. So I really encourage our listeners to check out these websites. Visit your website for more information. John and Iyaz, I really want to thank you for taking time to speak with us here on The Bistro.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, sure. Thanks very much.
Very much. Thank you. We are thrilled that you were able to join us for part two. We hope that our listeners go and look back, check out part one to find out more about the technology behind these online ads. And for the Better Business Bureau, I would like to thank you for listening. I'm Elena Spinola. You can hear more of our great episodes on iTunes anytime. Just search The Bistro. And until next time, it has been my pleasure discussing better business and consumer privacy with you.
You just enjoyed the Bistro podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com. Follow us on Twitter at @BBB_NTLprograms. Send your comments and ideas to podcast@bbbnp.org. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guest, not those of the BBB National Programs or its affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.